This morning, I want to talk about mnemonic devices. Hopefully you know what a mnemonic device is. Not a demonic device, but a mnemonic. It's like homes for the names of the Great Lakes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. Or, if you've ever played a musical instrument, every good boy deserves fudge. Right? When you learned how to play the piano, did you learn the notes on the lines of the staff as every good boy deserves fudge? Probably not. You probably didn't learn it in English, so, well, maybe you did. But it's EGBDF. So now you can play the piano because you now know that. Mnemonic devices help us to remember things that are important and things that are not important. You may have a mnemonic device for the names of the planets, or you may have a mnemonic device for the names of the presidents, or the names of states, or any number of things. You may have a mnemonic device to remember your phone number or your zip code. The reason I bring this up is because the word mnemonic comes from the Greek word for remember. And we get the word memory, we get the word monument, we get the word mnemonic. And the reason why I bring that up is because in these verses that we just read, in Luke 24, six times in these 12 verses, the root mnemonis is used. In a predominantly illiterate culture that received and relied upon an oral tradition, the people of the Bible used things to jog their memory. In the Old Testament, there were these things called Ebenezers, stones of remembrance. And you would see these stones and they would jog your memory. Or kids would ask, why is there this pile of stones here? Well, they were taken from the Jordan, from the base of the Jordan River when God allowed us to enter into Jericho. They are to remind us of this, that, or the other thing. We use all sorts of things to help us to remember. And the word nema in verse 1, which means tomb or monument, or nemion, used three different times also for tomb, but more specifically, a person's particular resting place. We have here a story, an account, where God is using the language for us to remember. In particular, as we see in verse 8, then they remembered his words. They, like us, need Easter to help us to remember. Well, what does Easter help us to remember? It helps us remember God's promises. What happened before these women remembered? They were walking to a mortuary. They were walking to the place where the dead body of Jesus was waiting for proper and honorable treatment. They were making their final arrangements. At the sunrise service earlier today, we read Luke 23:56. which says on that Friday afternoon before the sun went down, the women, while Joseph of Arimathea was placing the body in a tomb, the women, these women, were preparing spices. But then the sun goes down and the Sabbath takes place. No work is to be done. So they take, as soon as they can, these prepared spices. Frankincense, myrrh, and other herbs, ointments, and spices, so that they could treat the body. Because dead meat rots. And when dead meat rots, it smells horrible. And they, out of love, out of compassion, out of kindness, were going there to treat the dead body of Jesus with honor. When they get there, they are surprised when there are two men with gleaming garments, flashing, sparkling, bedazzled outfits. And they are asked an incredibly strange question under the circumstances. Literally, they are asked, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? Why are you looking for the one who is alive among the dead?" Strange, because they are not looking for someone who is alive. They are looking for someone who is dead. Why are you here? Are you under the false impression that Jesus is presently deceased? Then they were reminded of the truth. "Do you remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Do you remember what he said and what Luke recorded in Luke 9:22, Luke 9:41, and Luke 18:31-33. Three different times Jesus told you, "I am going to Jerusalem, where I will be handed over to sinful humanity. And they will beat me, they will mock me, they will kill me, they will bury me. But on the third day, I will be raised anew." He's not here, just like he said. And then they remembered his words. Actually, they remembered his statement. They remembered his rhetoric, his speeches, his sayings. And I don't think it's just these words. I think there was a flood of memories that came back. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. For if you forgive when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am." Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. These and other statements made of peace, of forgiveness, of reunion, of presence, of eternal life. They all ought to be flooding back to us, because the fact remains, if Jesus can keep this unbelievable promise, then is there anything that Jesus has said that cannot be true? I am going to Jerusalem, and there I will be publicly and humiliatingly executed, and everyone will know that I am dead. And then I will rise. They must have seen and understood the first part. But it wasn't until they saw those angels, until they recognized that Jesus is still alive. He is the living one. They did not spend another moment in mourning. They went to the apostles to tell them the good news. We have no idea what happened to the spices. We have no idea what happened to those preparations. All we know is that they turned away from the tomb. Verse 9 says, and they went to speak to others. At one time or another, we all need to be reminded of the truths that God has spoken. Perhaps for you, it's a time of deep sadness, like that of these women. Perhaps for you, it's a time of personal failure, like we're about to read of Peter. What he remembered needed to be reframed. Peter's problem was not that he forgot. He remembered exactly what Jesus said. He remembered even more specifically what he himself had said. And so we then look at the remainder of these verses, and Easter helps us remember God's provision. The 11 and the others are told what happened at the tomb. And almost everyone there thought their story was foolishness. And honestly, we have to ask ourselves, if we were there, would we have believed them? Their story simply did not make sense. You expect me to believe that you went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away and the guards were nowhere to be found and there were angels there, but Jesus was not. And then the angel spoke to you. What is wonderful about the Easter narrative? It is something that we can learn now 20 centuries afterward. Is that the testimony of women is important to God. These women are the first to know the truth, the first to embrace the truth, the first to share the truth. And it would be a travesty if we were to say, because they were women, they ought not to have been listened to. Because they were women, they probably didn't know what they were talking about. We would be wrong if we took the disciples' position and remained in disbelief. It's not that they just didn't believe them, but they stayed in not believing. They decided this is not to be believed. However, characteristic of Peter, who was impulsive, who did what he wanted, who said what he thought without regard of what anyone else was doing, without regard of what anyone else thought, Peter gets up and runs to the tomb. He needed to see for himself. Maybe he thought it was nonsense, but what if it were not? Maybe he thought this can't be true. But just like Thomas, I need to see it for myself. Because Peter's actions convey desperation. We all can recall, and if you're not familiar, let me share. Peter's last interaction with Jesus was not even an interaction with Jesus. Jesus was being dragged through the courtyard, and Peter was following in the shadows. Peter was warming himself by a fire as Jesus was dragged from trial to trial. And based on different gospel accounts, different people come to Peter and say, "You were one of them, weren't you? You know this guy, don't you?" One of the gospel accounts says that a little girl asks him, "Hey, mister, you were one of his followers, right?" And what does Peter say? "Nope, never knew him. Don't know what you're talking about. Get away from me." Three times. Jesus had predicted, had prophesied, had said, "Peter, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. Before the sun rises, you will deny me thrice." And at that moment, Luke's last mention of Peter, Luke 22:62, up until this moment, he went outside. He went out of the courtroom, a courthouse, a courtyard, and he wept bitterly. He immediately knew after the rooster crowed what he had done. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the condition of your heart at that moment? You are watching Jesus dragged from court to court, trial to trial, being beaten, being mocked, being ridiculed, head covered, smacked upside the head. And someone comes up to you and says, "You're one of them, aren't you?" And you say, "Nope." And then he locks eyes with Jesus, knowing what he had done. That's a memory you can't get rid of. So he runs to the tomb. And he crouches down. And he looks in. And he sees the strips of linen lying by themselves. He sees the stone rolled away. He sees the guards are gone. He sees the grave clothes remaining, but no body. Which is a good indication that there wasn't a robbery. If you steal a dead body, you are going to leave the grave clothes on the body. You're not going to, especially a day later, 2 days later, you're not going to want to touch that body. Also indicates that Jesus was not somehow revived, that he was nearly close to death, but somehow revived and mustered enough strength to move the stone from the inside out. Because he would have kept at least a garment, a cloth around him. The fact was that Jesus was not there. And Peter leaves the tomb, wondering, marveling, in amazement, all by himself. Is it possible? Is it possible that Jesus did in fact rise? And has his denial been disqualified? Peter ultimately finds what he is looking for. Later on in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, the disciples declare that Jesus appeared to Peter. Now, this first meeting is not recorded in Scripture, perhaps because the disciples did not initially believe him either. But we do know that Jesus came back to restore Peter and to restore us. We have the Gospel of John where Jesus goes out, finds Peter, and addresses him personally and equips him personally. Our sermon in a sentence is this: remember what God has promised and what Easter has provided. We need to remember the words of Jesus, whether that be by retelling the story over and over again to anyone who will listen, or by surrounding ourselves with mementos to jog our memory. We need to remember the words of Jesus. We need to remember the resurrection of Jesus that brings new life to all who trust in him. Mary, Joanna, Mary and the others remembered what Jesus said, and it changed the world. Peter realized that his memories, what he remembered of himself and of Jesus, could be different, and that changed him. What would happen if we remembered and believed the words of the Lord? What would happen if we continually stood amazed at the resurrection? Easter makes all the difference. Because of the empty tomb, we know that God will keep every promise. And because of the empty tomb, we know that God can comfort every person. There is among religious historians what they call the Easter effect. The changing of culture nearly immediately after Jesus' resurrection. That prior to Jesus' resurrection, women were not valued. And among the church, almost immediately, women were given places of honor. Immediately following Jesus' resurrection, people started acting sacrificially for the sake of others in the church, which was a change from personally and familially obligating one's resources to their care. And they began to share amongst one another almost immediately. Acts of compassion, acts of kindness, acts of forgiveness, acts of acceptance, all because of the Easter effect. All because people chose to remember what God had promised and what Easter had provided. May we do the same. Shall we pray?